Abroad now, and as we've been hearing, the US Secretary of State John Kerry is meeting foreign ministers from around the world in Paris today to discuss how to tackle the Islamic State jihadists. About 40 countries, including several Arab states, have signed up to a coalition to help fight IS in Iraq and Syria. The recent beheading of the Scottish aid worker David Haynes and threats against a second Briton, a Manchester taxi driver Alan Henning, have galvanised world leaders who are drawing up a plan of action to include those 40 nations. I'm joined now from Beirut by Martin Chulov of The Guardian. Martin, good morning to you and thanks for joining us. David Cameron, the British Prime Minister, saying he's going to be working closely with allies to dismantle and ultimately destroy IS. That is a very, very big challenge, isn't it?
It certainly is. The Islamic State have proven themselves to be a formidable quarry. In the last couple of months, they've built themselves an enterprise using more than $1.5 billion dollars in looted weapons, weapons that they've stolen from the Iraqi military when the Iraqi military abandoned all of its bases in northern Iraq, in doing so changing the modern face of the Middle East. The Islamic State are now armed with these weapons. They were US-supplied weapons only 6 to 7 years ago, and they're now being used to carve an enormous swathe of influence from the eastern edge of Aleppo right through to central Iraq. They are going to take quite some taking on as they build momentum, attracting new recruits and threatening new boundaries.
Now, the key to this campaign, and John Kerry seems to be working very, very hard to achieve this, is to win the support of getting the Arab states on board. And it seems there's some suggestion that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates may even provide air support.
Yes, there is, and this is important. Look, the last two times the American military has made itself known in the heartland of Arabia, or back in 1991 and in 2003, when the invasion of Iraq took place. In both of those cases, the Gulf states, and particularly Saudi Arabia, were happy enough to lend support to the extent that it brought them political patronage, perhaps a bit of military kit, leverage in Washington, other things like that. But this time around, the threat from the Islamic State is seen to be very much at their door as well, as it is at the door of the regional mortal foe, Iran. So the Saudi Air Force stepping up and offering air support is not going to alienate Iran. It's not going to do anything other than provide the Sunnis of Central Arabia with an alternative vehicle. And for now, because of the total fracturing of the body politic in Syria and Iraq, Sunnis are starting to rust on to the ISIS message, not necessarily because they believe in the ideology, but they see them as a vehicle for change.
We've been reading reports in the last week or so, Martin, about the vastly greater level of activity that the Islamic State seems to have been managing to organise. In other words, that the CIA is now saying they may have not just 10 or 11,000 soldiers, but three times that number. So is it realistic to talk about degrading and defeating them purely by means of airstrikes?
No, I don't think so. And I think the Americans realise that. They are looking to partner up with on-ground proxies. They are looking to send weapons, for example, to the Syrian opposition elements, which over the last 3 to 4 years they've been very uncomfortable with. Some of those groups, though, they are planning to send into the fray with the heavy weapons that they've been pleading for to take on the Islamic State. Now, there is a precedent for success here, and that was in Anbar province in Iraq in 2007, when the previous incarnation of the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, had overrun the cities of Fallujah and Ramadi, and they had they'd gotten the communities there well and truly offside. The tribes, if you recall at that time, rose up and allied with the American military, which at the time was occupying the country, and over the course of 9 months, they were able to force Al-Qaeda out of Anbar province. This is very different, though. We're talking an enormous swathe of land. Effectively, it's bigger than the size of Great Britain, with no occupying army, with disparate opposition groups, all with competing interests, it's going to be very difficult to see how partnering up with proxies is going to stop the momentum of this group, which, as you say, has at least around 15 to 20,000 core ideologues, battle-hardened ideologues as fighters, and has managed to recruit along the way around about 50,000 others, either through coercion or fear or convenience. But it is a formidable organisation, and it will take stopping that airstrikes simply can't deliver.
There was a shocking familiarity now, a sickening familiarity, I suppose, about the latest video that showed the killing of the Scottish aid worker David Haynes with the jihadi, with the London accent, issuing a warning to David Cameron. And of course, there's the other worker now, or aid worker. He's a 47-year-old taxi driver, Alan Henning from Manchester. What is known about his circumstances?
Well, Alan Henning, just before last Christmas, contributed to an aid convoy, some Muslim men in and around Greater Manchester. He organised some aid, delivering ambulances and medical supplies through into Idlib province from southern Turkey. He took leave from work. He went out there very much as an aid mission, a personally funded aid mission, and crossed the border from the Bab al-Hawa crossing, which is one of the main crossings into Syria, as part of a convoy with Muslim friends of his. He was stopped within several kilometres of that crossing, and he was taken away, and his friends were allowed to proceed. He's been in a dungeon, effectively, in the city of Raqqa in eastern Syria ever since. The British government had been very cautious about releasing any details about his fate. It was only after we saw him appear at the very end of that video that you spoke about that we felt safe enough to talk about who Alan Henning was or who he still is, and the very grim fate that awaits him if there isn't some kind of a resolution to his hostage taking.
And how many others might there be, or what's your sense of how many there are that haven't been identified or spoken about publicly?
There's about 10 other Westerners. There's about 10 to 15 other foreign Arabs, and there are several hundred Syrians being held by the Islamic State in Raqqa.
Martin, thank you very much indeed for joining us with that update. That's Martin Chulov of The Guardian joining us from Beirut. We'll be talking crime again after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.